And good morning. Welcome back to the Roscoe Morton Tower from the stand. And we are joined by a very, very special guest this morning. She is an aviation pioneer and one of the original WASPs, the Women Air Force Service Pilots, Bee Haidu. What an honor it is to have you on our show this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes. For those who don't know the story of the WASPs, how did it come to be during World War II?
Well, as early as 1939, Jacqueline Cochran had been trying to convince the Army Air Corps that they should be training women as well as men. I think everyone knows who Jacqueline Cochran was. She was an extremely famous pilot. She was turned down, and then December 7, 1941, Pearl Harbor, she immediately went to General Arnold and said, "How about utilizing women?" And he said, "Well, no, not yet." Well, a year later, he had 100,000 qualified male pilots, and yet he still had a shortage. So it was about that time, and this was now 1942, that he sent her to England to see how they were handling women pilots in their regime. When she came back, she was astonished to see that Nancy Love had already started helping the ferry command at their request. And she was extremely upset because she had been promised that if anything was done with the women, she would be the director. So she went to Arnold, and he said he didn't realize that was happening, that it was a separate contract that the ferry command had made. To make a long story short, he allowed her to start the program of training women pilots.
Good. And you were based in Sweetwater, Texas, right? That was where the training was.
Adventure Field.
Yes, down the road from where I live in Midland, so we kind of have we have it. Good grasp of geography. How did you get drawn into the WASP program?
Well, it was an odd situation. I know most of the women that flew had a desire at a very young age or older. They just wanted to fly. Well, I was out in the working world as a private secretary. And I had a brother. I graduated high school in 1938. My brother was 13 months older than I. And there just wasn't enough money to send both of us to college. And I always regretted that. So one day I said, stop feeling sorry for yourself and do something about it. So I looked into night courses and I found an aviation course. And I said, well, that sounds interesting. I think aviation is here to stay. I'll take that course. Well, it actually was preparing me for my private pilot's written license. So when the course was over, I said, I think I'll take a flying lesson and see what that's all about. I did, and of course, the first time I was up in a side-by-side 65-horsepower Taylor craft, I was hooked. And so that's how I got started. There were several of us learning to fly, women, mm-hmm. and we saw in the newspaper that Mrs. Sheehy was recruiting for the WASP. So we went down with all of our logbooks and all the information that they needed, and the six of us were accepted into the program.
Excellent, excellent. Tell us a little bit about the training. How did that, what was the progression?
Well, the training was very similar to the male cadet training. Initially, they trained us in 6 months, but then they upped it to 7 months because the program, which started out as an experiment, was now successful. And so they were certain that we would be taken into the Army Air Corps. And so, where were we?
How about your training? 7 months?
Yeah.
And then,
So they upped it to 7 months so that we could get courses in military protocol and so forth.
Okay. And many, many women applied for the program. correct?
Well, 25,000 actually applied.
And the number who actually made it out the other end was just over 1,000, correct?
Yep, 1,074.
Amazing.
Plus the 25 that had originally started with Nancy Love.
Okay. And so you weren't technically accepted into the Air Corps. You ended up spending all of your time moving airplanes from place to place. And so that sort of led to that quasi-military, not military sort of thing that kind of followed the WASP through very many, many years until you got things straightened out.
1977.
Yes, until 1977.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. What kind of airplanes did you fly?
Oh, I flew all the primary basic advanced aircraft, and then I was stationed at Pecos, Texas, where I flew the UC-78 and the AT-17. Those are advanced twins.
Right.
And January 1st, 1945, it became a B-25 base.
Okay.
And December 20th, 44, we were disbanded, so except for 11 days, I would have been flying a B-25. But there were two branches. You were either in the ferry command or the training command.
Okay.
Now, everyone, or a lot of people, think that all we did was ferry aircraft, but we didn't, because Jacqueline Cochran wanted us to be able to do every job that the men did stateside. And what a lot of people don't realize is that for every combat pilot, you need at least 12 service pilots. When you stop to think, the anti-aircraft have to practice. The gunners have to practice from a moving aircraft. The beacon operators had to practice night flying, locating aircraft. So they were all together. There were about 12 different jobs, and we were at 120 different bases throughout the United States.
Amazing. There. Now, I've learned something new today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But on the I guess on the negative side, there were a number of WASP who perished in either in training or in service.
There were 38 that were killed.
Yes. And again, because not being technically in the Army Air Corps, they really did not receive the benefits that the men did when something like that happened.
Not only did they not receive the benefits, but the relatives could not have a star in the window showing that someone had died in the service.
Right.
And they weren't allowed to have an American flag draped on their casket. So we were paid by civil service. And when we went into our training, mm-hmm. we had to pay our own way to Sweetwater, Texas. So, and then we had to pay room and board. We received $150 a month in training and $250 a month once we graduated and went into service. But a good deal of that money went into our own upkeep, which had we been in the Army or in the military, those funds would have been paid for. We wouldn't have had to really pay them.
Right. When the group disbanded in 1944, what brought you all back together? What kept you together through the years?
I guess the love of flying and the friends that we made, and we all had something in common. And we did kind of lose touch for a while. And in 1975, I was elected the president of our group, which was called Order of Fifinella. And incidentally, Fifinella is the good luck lady gremlin designed by Walt Disney for the WASP. So we had to, we decided that we're really going to push to see if we can't get recognition as veterans of World War II, which had been promised us.
Right.
And so we had a treasury of like about $150, something like that. So we had to raise money. We had to contact the, quote, lost WASPs. We had to, there was a lot of work done on it, but a great deal of, all the credit actually goes to Colonel Bruce Arnold, who was the son of General Hap Arnold. And he went to one of our reunions, and he said, after one martini too many, I will help you to get recognition as veterans because I'm a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. He knew Barry Goldwater. He knew Lindy Boggs. He knew, you know, so many politicians. And so with his help, we were finally recognized in 1977 as veterans of World War II. Good. So, ta-da.
And since that time, though, you've also worked very hard to continue to educate the public and to continue to elevate the level of the WASP so that more people, like me, can learn all about it.
Yes, and still, to my amazement, there are people that do not realize that women flew in World War II.
Yes.
And I wrote a book, which is based on the letters that I had written home that my mother saved. And it describes, and I was amazed when I reread the letters because I had forgotten half of the stuff that I had done. So it has been well received, and it is for sale in the gift shops here.
Okay.
At Oshkosh.
All right. Yes, the book is called Letters Home. That's the book.
1944-1945. Okay. But it does describe how I did remain in aviation and flying, active flying, up until my late 70s.
And what kind of flying were you doing?
After the war?
Yes, or, yeah, after the war.
Pleasure.
Oh, excellent. The best kind. The best kind.
Yeah. Although I did. I started out when we were disbanded, and this was before I was married. I knew that if I wanted to continue to fly as a living, I would have to do it on my own because I'd been turned down by so many different companies. And so I got my instructor's rating, and I instructed. And then at that time, right after the war, they were selling surplus aircraft. Well, they had to be flown from where they were to bases, mm-hmm. like New York City and just all over the country. And so I approached the distributor who was doing all of this and asked him if he needed any help with the new aircraft being built and ferrying them. And he said, "What have you got in mind?" And I said, "Well, I know a lot of pilots." And I started a ferrying business.
Okay.
And then that led to my getting a dealership in Cessna.
Okay.
And so I had that for a year. And then I went with a group of other veteran pilots and had a flight school.
Okay.
And it was during that time that I met my husband. We got married. He didn't want me to work anymore. And so we just, he had a staggering beach at the time. And as you know, I married a pilot, of course. And so we continued flying, and I guess we owned about 12 different types of aircraft. He had been a flight instructor with Stearman's and for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. So he could make that airplane sit up and say, "Woof."
Is there a favorite airplane that you flew? One that you, if you had the chance to do it today, you'd jump in?
Well, the one that got away was the
B-25. Yeah.
I almost had a chance to fly that, but didn't. But I kind of like the Stearman.
Okay.
I think it's a great airplane. It has a narrow landing gear. And as a matter of fact, when we were in service, they were experimenting with the women to see if they could eliminate one of the phases, because it's usually primary, basic, advance. So they chose the basic, which was the BT-13. So we started out in the 220 horsepower Stearman, and then the next phase, we went to the 650 horsepower AT-6. And it was successful, so they changed the training for the male pilots as well.
Good, good. And I know, perfect timing. We have noted that you've received the Congressional Gold Medal from President Obama. And there is a picture I saw of you on the internet. It looks like you're giving him what for. He's leaning in and he's listening very intently to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I just had to ask, what were you telling him?
Okay, if I can just correct you on one thing.
Sure.
Obama did not give us the medal.
Right.
It was the Congressional Gold Medal. Right. It was given to us by Congress.
Okay.
But the picture you saw, he was signing the bill into law.
Right.
And I was pointing my finger at him because I said, do you want a story about discrimination and so forth? Because usually people are interested in that. And he said, yes. And I said, well, there was a group of women pilots that had graduated, and they were sent to B-26 school to be checked out in the B-26. Well, the officer that was going to check them out stood in front of them and waved his fingers and said, I'm not teaching any damn women how to fly. Well, he had to. It was an order. But one of the women got even with him. She married him.
There you go. And have you been back to Sweetwater for the annual homecoming?
Oh, yes. We have that every year.
Every year? Yeah. It's right around Memorial Day, correct?
Yes.
In May?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sure you're looking forward to going back again next year?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Good. If people want your book, it's here in the gift shop. Are you signing any books or making any appearances during the week?
No, I have signed all of the books. Mm-hmm. And yes, I am making an appearance, but I can't give you the exact. My daughter is fortunately with me and points me in the right direction.
Well, so good. And look for the book, Letters Home by B. Haydu. And you can pick that up here on site in any of the gift shops, the EIA gift shops. And she's already signed them, so you can get an autographed copy before you head for home.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you again for being with us. It was an honor and a pleasure to meet you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here at Oshkosh.
I always do.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
And that's going to wrap up our show for today. This is From the Stand. It's made possible by the Commemorative Air Force. Remember, the mission of the CAF is education so that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our freedom. You can see them here on Boeing Plaza, and the C-47 That's All Brother is there, along with Hangar 57, or follow them on Facebook or their website, commemorativeairforce.org. Tomorrow, Tuskegee Airmen Colonel Charles McGee will be here. Christina Olds talks about her book about her father, Robin Olds, and Senator Jim Inhofe. And if you're an aviator, that's a very familiar name. He'll be talking about his Pilot Bill of Rights, version 2. So that'll be all coming up tomorrow at 10 o'clock. That's our show for today. And from the stand, I'm Steve Buss. This is EAA Radio.